The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Let's talk about Clemson football, shall we? It's Dukes and Bell, Strong Arm Story of the Day. Chapel Fowler, Clemson football. He covers the team for the state newspaper. I want to start with the defense, and thanks for joining us, by the way. The Tigers returned, what, six starters on defense and ended the season leading the ACC in total yards allowed and ranking eighth nationally. So a bunch of guys are coming back on that defense. And I'm curious, everybody's talking about how good they potentially could be this year. Maybe top five, who knows? Chapel, what do you think? Is that their strength going into week one against Georgia?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it. I think that defense has been so consistently historically good, you know, whether that's a Venables defense or more recently a Wes Goodwin defense. They've kind of been coordinator-proof. Clemson recruits really well on defense. They always seem to have bodies on bodies. And I think absolutely if you look at who they're bringing back, they're right in the conversation for, you know, best defense in the ACC and being something like a top 10, top 15 statistically in terms of that yardage allowed metric. They'd probably like to turn the ball over a little bit more. That's kind of one thing over the last few years that has not been as consistent. That's kind of been a fluctuation, like a lot of turnovers one year, not a lot the next year. They did do a good job of that last year. I think cornerback is a question that I have, and I'm excited to see how that goes against one of the Heisman Trophy favorites in Carson Beck on Saturday. You know, they lost Nate Wiggins to the NFL. They have a few guys who are banged up there where we're not totally sure of their playing statuses. A few true freshmen, true sophomores that are going to play a lot no matter who's playing or not playing injury-wise on Saturday. So there's a question mark there, but if you look at who they're bringing back on that defensive line, and then obviously a linebacker with Barrett Carter. There is experience on experience. There's a lot of freaky athletic dudes, and there's a lot of stuff that makes you kind of just assume, okay, Clemson's going to be good on defense again. I don't think that's an unfair thing to say this year one bit.
When you talk about Kay Klubnik, he's on the Manning Award watch list. Came in very obviously highly touted as a recruit out of high school. Do you feel like he's overperformed, underperformed, or kind of performed what you expected given what we've seen from him so far? And what sort of expectations do we have from this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, thrown into the fire early. You know, if you're a 19-year-old college freshman as just a student, all your mistakes don't show up on ABC on any given Saturday. So he's learned. He's taken it on the chin. You know, that there were some critical errors last year where he made the mistakes. He lost the game because of him. And Dabo Swinney, you know, called him out for it in the postgame presser, as he should and as he does. You know, he has as much talent as anybody out there. If you watch some of the throws he makes, he'll make one or two kind of ridiculous ones every game. So he kind of looks like a baby deer running around out there. But he's put on extra weight, and he still is fast. He kind of plays like a – I don't know. I've heard like Johnny Manziel, not in terms of talent level, but just in kind of the – occasional recklessness that can lead to greatness styles, but can also lead to some killer turnovers. So, I mean, he was an elite 11 MVP for a reason. Like you said, he's on all these watch lists. Nobody doubts his talent, but consistency has been his thing that he has not gotten there yet on. The type of throws that you should make if you're a freshman or a first-year starter, but you should only make them one or two games into a year, those were still happening late into last season. Obviously, the Gator Bowl was a little bit different. He had a really good into that game with that game-winning drive against Kentucky that's given him and everybody around him a lot of confidence. But the thing I've been saying about him all offseason, I think everybody would agree with me in and outside the Clemson football building, is, okay, you know, you've done all the right things, go show it. And there's no better opportunity than Atlanta in that dome against a really, really good UGA defense to talk about good defenses in college football as well.
Chapel Fowler, he covers Clemson football for the state newspaper. Guys, we're talking about the matchup on Saturday. It's Dukes and Bill. Zeno in for Mike today. Let's talk about the offensive line. Matt Luke is now overseeing the O-line. How much better are they going to be, and if so, why?
Yeah, that was a big pickup. I was not expecting Clemson to go out and get him, of all people, for that spot. But it certainly makes sense about why you want to make a change if you knew somebody like that might be available. By all accounts, he's been really impressive in kind of the few open practice viewing periods that we got during Clemson's fall camp. Anytime I went over and saw him coaching his guys, and this was the same in the spring and before bowl practice last year, he was always hoarse. You know, he's always yelling. He's very intense, but I think it's not intensity just for the sake of it. It does seem very directive, and all of his guys have kind of raved about. You know, this is a guy who coached Laramie Tunsil and all these really good guys at Georgia that won a national championship, that's been a head coach, that played the position really well. He's got a pretty impressive resume, and I think it's showing up so far in the preparation. But at the same time, this is a line that is returning all these starters, all these guys who have starting experience, with the caveat that I think they allowed a season-high 8 or 9 sacks against Kentucky the last time they stepped foot on the field. And you guys probably remember Clemson, Georgia in 2021, and how much the line of scrimmage and Georgia's defense getting all over Uiagalelei with sacks really determined that one. So I think that's another spot where, you know, it's the same guys. Again, they're not very portal active up here in Clemson, if you haven't heard. But they have those various viral comments on it. They like their guys, but what comes with that is, you know, an understanding that you can talk in all the offseason, but until you prove it against a really good team, as Clemson has the opportunity to do week one, not totally sure. But the veteran leadership and the number of starts and guys who have starting experience on that line, I think, is at least a really good starting point for what they want to do in 2024 there.
Barrett Carter was named first-team preseason All-American, obviously a high honor. I mean, he feels like he's the spark plug for the entire defense. So when you look at what he's capable of, and particularly against a team like Georgia, you know, you feel like he's going to be the centerpiece of what they do defensively. But what's his, you know, role beyond this week and the season, where he fits in with everything?
Yeah, talented as heck, great with the media, willing and able and very talented leader, unflinchingly honest sometimes to his own fault. You know, this is a guy who admitted after the season opener lost to Duke last year that, hey, you know, it wasn't really in game shape. Like, he probably most NFL draft prospects wouldn't say that after a game like that. But, you know, he's honest, and he was right about that. And he came back this year to kind of fix up a few things and get a higher NFL draft grade and go out as a senior versus a junior, which I don't think anybody would have thought that this guy would come back for a fourth year when he started, given how big a recruit he was coming out of the state of Georgia and what he did those first 2 years at Clemson. But he's really taken on that role. You know, Jeremiah Trotter is a linebacker who's in the pros now that was there with him last year. Trotter's gone. Carter is kind of the veteran leader in that linebacker group and obviously for the defense at large, and had a heck of a Gator Bowl if you talk about the most recent time he saw the field. He was really good in that game. So it definitely does start in with him. You know, he's their green dot, in helmet, microphone, communication with the defensive coordinator guy on defense. He's kind of their main guy for that. So both literally and kind of conceptually, he is that guy for them. And they needed a big year out of him. If he were to get hurt, they'd be in some trouble.
Chapel Fowler joining us here, talking about Clemson, Georgia on Saturday from the Clemson perspective. What's Dabo doing, by the way? What's he trying to hide by not releasing a depth chart on Monday? And then it was asked about it. He was like, oh, I don't know. Now, is he going to release one on game day, or is he trying to hide something here?
Yes, that was my question on Tuesday, because I was wondering the same thing. what the gist of it, you know, he wouldn't say it directly, but the last time these two teams played, Georgia did not release a depth chart, which they traditionally have not done heading into week one under Kirby for a while now. And Clemson did, but it was like a depth chart from before a bunch of preseason camp started. There were a bunch of co-starters, like 4 co-starters at various positions. So 3 years ago, they kind of played Georgia's game and released like a not very helpful depth chart. I guess this time around, they're kind of just totally playing Georgia's game and saying, we're not going to release a depth chart until game day because you guys won't. All week either. What they're going to do is put something on. I'm not sure what time, whether that will be handed to me on a sheet of paper or emailed to me by the sports information director, but they will do some sort of depth chart on game day heading into that game. And then obviously once the game starts, like you see who's out there, you see who's playing well and who's on the bench. So it doesn't really matter too much. But yeah, I guess as Clemson is really playing Georgia's game in terms of that little tiny extra level of secrecy, which is a little silly, but at the same time, it's fun. It's petty. So I have no problems with it. I think it's a fun thing to talk about and just adds another little layer of spice to this really fun regional rivalry.
Speaking of playing the game, you mentioned Dabo and his stance on the transfer portal, NIL, and all that. He's also fighting with fans on his radio show. And if things don't go as planned this year and it's another down year by Clemson standards, is there a sense and starting to feel like there's a sense that, you know, the game may be passing him by a little bit and his inability to adapt may be hurting the program long term?
Yeah, no, it's a really fair question. It's one that I've thought about a lot over the last few years. Just when you have a standard as high as they set in that 6-year run where they made 6 playoffs in a row, won 6 ACC titles in a row, made 4 title games, won 2 national championships, anything past that is going to look bad by those standards when really contextually, like, you know, I think they've won 30 games the last 3 years, and that's better than Dabo says this stat all the time, 126 of the 134 FBS schools or something. So they're operating at a higher standard, and that, you know, tier A stuff is really hard to maintain. But at the same time, I think a lot of these criticisms are valid. You know, I personally, if I was in that role as him, I joke that, you know, you could get one receiver from the portal who has like 300 receiving yards 1 year and your fans would be happy. Like they would love to see Clemson play a little bit more ball with that stuff, whether it's portal or NIL, or just kind of the general adaptation that so many other teams are going toward that he's not going to yet. They have adapted a little bit. You know, they were more active in the portal this past offseason than they've been since it kind of started in this new unlimited transfer iteration. Offered a number of offensive linemen, one guy who ended up going to Georgia Tech and played really well in their game last week. So they're still not getting those guys. And it's because they're not going all the way in on it. They trust their strategy. They trust their high school recruiting strategy. And, you know, that can get you 9, 10, even 11 wins 2 years ago like they had. But I don't think that's the way to win a national title exclusively by doing that. So I think that pressure, those concerns will certainly ramp up depending on how this year goes. You know, you'll probably hear some of that if they were to lose on Saturday, probably a lot of that, depending on how much the score is. Those criticisms of him and the way he does stuff. I will say he's not on the hot seat by any means. Dabo is Clemson. Clemson is Dabo. That is set in stone. The athletic director said as much to us last week. So no hot seat talk there. But I think it could be in a position where he really needs to make that final adaptation. If you go, you know, 4 years without any type of playoffs, even appearances, I think that's a totally fair thing to consider and something he should do, depending on how this year goes. But at the same time, it could be a very, you know, moral victory, rousing, raise your fist, our way works thing. If for some reason
it works,
this year goes.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
If it works. Chapel, I can't wait to call in on his show and talk to Coach Dabo Swinney.
No, we won't take those calls.
Never mind.
Well, you can't anymore.
No,
yeah.
Never mind.
No more.
Never mind that. Hey, Chapel, appreciate you stopping by. Chapel Fowler covers Clemson. Should be a great game on Saturday, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Had a good time.